Welcome along to the ITV Racing Podcast. This is the place for the final answers for Royal Ascot 2018. I'm Image Kennedy, joined by the First Lady of ITV Racing, Francesca Cumani. It's been so long since I've seen you, Francesca.
Well, yeah, so long since I've seen you, but not long since I've heard from you, Emma. And we did a podcast together yesterday, so we're going to have to think of some really interesting, fresh material.
Yeah, we're now going to throw all that content out and come up with completely new ideas. One of the best anchors, emphasis on anchors in the game, ITV's Ed Chamberlain.
Hello, Emmett. Sorry to disturb your Kumani Kennedy loving here.
You're more excited about this genuinely than the World Cup.
Yeah, this is the best week of the year. This is the best week we do. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. But what? It's better than football.
Yeah.
Really?
I've left that world behind.
Words.
Come on.
Yes.
And Kevin Blake absolutely is of that opinion from the Final Furlong podcast. And also ITV's Irish racing expert, and a huge week for Ireland, Kevin.
Absolutely. Massive week. And if you're a racing fan and you can't get excited about this, you better go check your pulse, because there's probably something wrong, isn't there?
Well, then do check your pulse if you're not getting excited about the Queen Anne live on ITV at 2:30 on Tuesday. Rhododendron is currently favourite. She comes into this off a win on the ITV cameras in the lock-in stakes last time out. Ed, is she going to go back-to-back in Group 1 company over a mile?
I think she's got every chance. I don't think it's a great Queen Anne. I don't think it's a great group of older milers in Britain and Ireland, but she's very good, and I think she's probably better than her Lockinge performance. But I'd go for an outsider, possibly a foreign raider, to win this. I think we could have a turn-up. I'm going to back Lord Glitters and Yoshida each way.
That is stealing Francesca's thunder there as well, because you're definitely a fan of Yoshida.
I am, yeah. Well, like Ed said, it's probably not the strongest Queen Anne. So if you want to look away from that Lockinge form line, which arguably, possibly is not that strong with Lightning Spear finishing that close up, which is a bit mean on him. But anyway, Yoshida brings in obviously very different form lines coming over from the States. And I think he's been a horse that's had a very lofty reputation from early doors. But another one that's also got that international form is Ben Battle, who coming off the back of a really impressive win in the Dubai Turf as his last start. Yes, he's back in England having his first start here, but you can't argue with that Dubai form.
And Kevin, for you?
I'm with Ben Battle. I think the drop back to a mile will really suit him. I know he's never won over the trip, but for me, he shapes like one that will improve for it. And he just looks a better horse. I know that Dubai form, you can throw stones at it, but I think he might prove tomorrow that he's full value for it.
And I will go with Yoshida as well. So three votes, technically speaking, for Yoshida.
The Japanese centre-half.
The Lord Glitters one's an interesting shout, because he hasn't run since, what, second to a day?
Giving £8
in the Lincoln.
So straight mile perfect. The best mile jockey, straight mile jockey in the world.
He's always been kind of knocking on the door of a big one. But this is a big step up in grade.
Yeah, which is why he's 20-1. But I'd rather back a 20-1 chance in what I think is an average renewal than go with one of the shorties.
Just back Ben Battle. Back the winner.
Ed Chamberlain will be like Lord Glitters if that horse goes and wins. The big clash of the day, possibly the big clash of the entire week, is Lady Aurelia against Batash in the King's Stand. Is it a clash for you, Ed? And if so, which divide are you on?
Cool, it should be. I don't think you can make up your mind. I think you need your head read if you're going to back Batash without following Francesca Cumani and how he is in the prelims, on the way to the start. Then we'll have Luke Harvey down at the start. I wouldn't go anywhere near him until you see him go in the stalls, to be honest. Lady Aurelia, Cheska, questions to answer after the Breeders' Cup and her reappearance?
Possibly, but you can't underestimate the fact that Wesley Ward loves having his horses peaking for Royal Ascot, and he's very good at it. He honestly revolves his whole year around it. She's been here twice before. She's won the Queen Mary. She's won the King's Stand before. She seems to just grow another leg when she gets it. And yes, we're setting it up as a clash between Batash and Lady Aurelia, but just, I would just keep an eye on a couple of others. Different League has got Ryan Moore in the saddle. The choice of a few from Aidan's stable, what, four or five he's got in there. And while she hasn't really set the world alight this year, we know that she was an impressive winner at Ascot last year of the Albany. So maybe there's something to keep an eye on there. And Finsbury Square is having a second start for a new trainer in Mauricio Delcha Sanchez. Won impressively a Group 2 at Shanty last time out. So just keep an eye on those ones.
So Kevin, settle this for us. Different League is very, very interesting, being a Royal Ascot winner last year, as Cheska said. But for me, it's definitely Lady Aurelia to make it three in a row at Royal Ascot.
Yeah, I'm with you. She's been absolutely electric at Royal Ascot the last 2 years. I'm putting my faith in Wes to have her bang on once again. But what are you laughing at?
Wes.
We're good pals, me and Wes.
Those personal friends, those two.
So I'm with her. Look, Batash, we're going to have to watch him very, very closely in the prelims. This is the scene of the crime, if you will. This is where he lost his head, to the extent where he was 2 stone lighter a few days later, 2 years ago. And you know, this track isn't ideally set up.
I backed him that day at Royal Ascot. He had a big reputation into that race and just blew it.
You know, we'll talk about it tomorrow, but the setup of the track here, he's got to walk about half a mile from the stables to get to the pre-parade ring here. The prelims are quite drawn out, you know. There'll be lots of opportunity for him to lose his head if he's going to lose it, and I'd be very concerned on that front.
Yeah, the mentality could be an issue.
Another
there.
Concern is Charlie Hill's stable form, by the way.
Yeah,
one from 38.
Very good point.
Last few weeks, that always worry. I'm a big one for stable form, and that just worries me with that. And Equilateral, who I think, sir, a very good horse in the Commonwealth Cup later in the week.
So, are you going to go with Lady Aurelia?
No, I'm going to. I've got no real strong opinion. I hope it turns into a clash between the big two because I love big head-to-heads. But I'm persuadable on this one. I've got no strong view, so I'm going to go with my presenting colleague and go for one of the bigger prize, maybe a different league.
Yeah, well, what about Bukero? Do you know his story? He's got a really good story, this one over from America as well. So he is actually lucky to be around because his dam was found in amongst a load of horses that had basically been neglected. She was rescued. She had a foal on her. She was super, super light. The foal, unfortunately, died. And her second foal is Bukero, who's trained by Tim Gleishaw, who's got a handful of horses. He's never actually been to England before, so he's loving this trip. And the owners, Iron Horse Racing, it's funny, you go on their website and it says no sheikhs or billionaires need apply. So they're very much like
you must tell that story tomorrow.
Run-of-the-mill people.
You must tell that story tomorrow. That's brilliant.
And he does have, I know he's a big price, but he came second to Bound for Nowhere, who's one of the leading chances in the Diamond Jubilee later on in the week at Keeneland 2 starts ago. So he has got some form.
3 Group 1s on day one. The third of those is the St. James's Palace Stakes, which I think has the worst favourite of the entire week, Francesca Comani, without parole.
I'm with you. And what's he actually done?
Exactly.
Really not
nothing.
Much. There's a lot of hype around this horse off the back of the fact that he is undefeated. But what, this year he's won a Yarmouth Novice by 6 lengths. Yes, in a very, very good time. But we're expecting him to come and absolutely blow them away at Sandown in the Heron Stakes, where he won okay, and yes, it was on ground that was probably a bit softer than ideal. He probably had missed a lot of work through to having a foot issue that ruled him out of the guineas. And obviously the Frankie Gosden factor, but I would be happy to look away from him and I would be focusing on either Tip to Win, who was second in the guineas. You can't argue with that form, with what Massal's come out and done winning the Derby, who finished third that day. But the one I'm leaning towards is US Navy Flag,
yes,
which is a funny one. And actually, we were speaking to Joseph O'Brien yesterday, and he was with me. So Ryan Moore's on board, and he's got that brilliant form as a two-year-old. He won 2 Group 1s, yes, over a shorter distance, but Aiden seems determined that he's sticking at the mile. And he does tend to lead, so he's going to need to get a softer lead. But if he can, he's just classy and he's tough.
I don't know if Ryan Moore has much of a choice with him. I think he's just very strong.
Just tears off in front, yeah, doesn't he?
I think he's very strong.
Why have they got the blinkers on him still then?
They tried. The race was essentially set up at the car last time for Ryan to get an uncontested lead and try to take him back a bit, but he just couldn't do it. He ended up going a bit quicker than ideal. You can have a chat with Aiden tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll tell him my opinion.
So US Navy Flag is bidding to follow in the footsteps of his full sister, who continue to improve with every run. I think he's going to tomorrow. I think Royal Ascot's really going to suit him, particularly the bend.
No, I think he gets a mile. I think he'll run very well. But I'd be against Without Parole. He may go and win, but he's a terrible price. I thought he looked very raw at Sandown, and I think this might be coming a little bit too soon for him in his career. He might well prove to be the best of these, but it's a concern for me. Wootton is the one for me, the French raider. He looked like a machine in the making as a two-year-old. He was satisfactory in his trial, and everything went wrong in the French Guineas last time. He's much better than that. And with the likes of US Navy Flag and maybe others making this a proper test, I think that will suit him. They'll ride him quiet, ride him for a turn of foot, and I think he's a very good colt.
US Navy Flag and Wootton so far. Ed, settle it.
The heart would love Tip to Win for Roger Teal, who trains, you can have your Bally Dials, but Roger Teal trains behind the Murco garage in Great Shefford. For Anne Cowley, who's the most wonderful woman and what Royal Ascot's all about. She bought some horses when her husband was very ill with Alzheimer's, and she puts the white breastplate on so he could see them in a race, and they still does that even though he passed away a few years ago. I'd love to see her win on the biggest stage. It would be very, very emotional. Whether it'll happen, I'm not sure, because I think you're all talking absolute drivel. I don't think any of the guineas have been any good. I think Frankie absolutely loves Without Parole, as does Jason Weaver, by the way. And he won despite the ground, as Francesca says at Sandown. I think he and Gabba could be 1-2 again. I'm not quite sure which way round it'll be, but no massively strong opinion.
Hands up,
but
who disagrees with
that? That's 3 hands.
I seem to remember this happened with DXB a few weeks ago, didn't it?
He did win.
I was on board there.
Yeah, you didn't deserve it. I was ridiculed that day. Ridicule me now. 1-2 Without Parole. Reverse forecast, because no guarantee that Without Parole will beat Gabba, but I think they might be better than the Guineas mob.
I do like a reverse forecast, by the way. Anything else that interests you on day one?
Yes, Autocratic will win the last and break the record for Sir Michael Stout. 16-1 is huge. He'll either come last or he'll pick them all up and carry them. I'm not quite sure which, but at 16-1, Autocratic's worth chancing in the last, which is now a listed race.
Yes.
To Orpington.
What a story that would be, by the way. So currently, Sir Michael Stout is level with the late great Sir Henry Cecil in terms of winning most trainer at Royal Ascot. Closing in fast, though, is Aidan O'Brien, who I think is going to win that race. Yucatan,
who could either win or finish stone last.
Yucatan.
He's quite short in the market, though.
He's 12s. 12s dropped to listed company.
Why?
Because he's going to win.
Being tailed off last time at the
coronation.
I know.
Anything else tomorrow for you, Cheska?
Kennedy loves a cliff horse.
My cliff horse finally won. Go on, Brian.
No, I'm interested in a horse called Chelka in the Ascot Stakes. So he's trained by Willie Mullins, who's won this race 3 times. And every time he's won it, he's had Ryan Moore in the saddle, and he's got, 5 in it this year. And Ryan is the choice for Chelka, who hasn't run since October 2016. He fractured a pelvis before Ascot last year when he was meant to run there. He's having his first start for Willie, having been trained by Jean-Claude Rouget before in France. And it would be an amazing training performance. He's been off the track for over 600 days. He's first up over 2.5 miles. Yet, I think he could have some serious ability, and like I said, it would be an amazing training performance.
Australian connections?
Yeah, maybe.
No bias
This guy
whatsoever.
Runs in the colours of a really good horse called Galo Shop.
No bias whatsoever. Kevin, for you, anything else on day one?
No, I'm pretty happy about it.
In that case,
so
we move straight on to day two, where the feature race is the Prince of Wales Stakes. Group one over 10 furlongs. The last time we saw the Cracksman, the favourite for this race, was on ITV in the Coronation Cup, when Ed, he just managed to get there. But back to
Never
Ascot.
Never seen Francesca Camani more relieved. Did you see the camera shot of Francesca? But I proved my point after about 200 yards.
We were all
yards.
Taking him
I don't care whether he banged his head or not. He hates Epsom.
But that's the thing, though, because I spoke to my dad about this morning. I said, if a horse hates Epsom, at what stage of the race does he show he's hating it? And he said, well, coming round the bend, going down the hill, because that's where horses get uncomfortable. They don't show it going uphill in the first 2 furlongs. He said he
recognized
basically
the
had a non-going day.
But you say
like
that, and I'd agree with you generally, but he did the same thing in the Derby. He was off the bridle going up the hill, which was very odd, I thought at the time, but he's kind of done the same thing again. So don't ask me to explain it, but he did it twice now, so I don't think he likes the place either.
Yeah.
So, back to 10 furlongs at Ascot, where he was so explosively brilliant last year on Champions Day. Will he win?
Probably. He's the best horse by a mile. Would I back him? 100% no. Would I take him on? Probably. If it's quick ground tomorrow, it'll be the best going of the week. If it's genuinely quick ground tomorrow, I take him on.
So, who are you going to take him on with?
That's a very good question, because there's not a whole lot to take him on with. I'd like to see Poet's Word potentially win if Sir Michael hasn't won with Autocratic the day before. They're not a great bunch, are they? I wouldn't be keen on Eminent after what we saw at Chester.
We have seen shucks in the race before.
Listen, racing needs superstars, and Cracksman could be the best horse in the world. Who knows? But after what happened at Epsom, and until he does it on quick ground, I think he's absolutely mustard on soft ground. Everyone says he didn't want soft ground because John Gosden pulled him out of the Dante. That was purely because it was the Derby in 2 weeks' time. That's not why he took it. He took him out because of the Derby, not the soft ground. Mm. I think he's absolute mustard on soft ground and very, very good on good ground. Quick ground, we'll find out on Wednesday.
Cheska, for you?
I think you have to stick with Cracksman. I'm not really a big punter, so Price, if we're purely thinking of finding the winner, I think it has to be Cracksman. And put a line through his last start and he would be absolutely red hot favourite because he's such a superior racehorse. But there are a few in here that are having to kind of re-establish their profile. I mean, Hawkbill bombed out badly in the Coronation Cup as well. Cliffs of Moher, remember last year, it was all about him for the Derby, wasn't it?
Oh, no. It's gone so horribly wrong there.
Now, yeah, exactly.
It's not a great race, is it?
Eminence coming off the back of disappointment as well. So I think you have to stick with Cracksman, absolutely.
Kevin, he was pushed out to 3-1 on the day at Epsom. That was a huge overreaction. And that was the point you were making on ITV that day.
Yeah, I'd like to think between myself and Jason and a few of the rest of the team, we gave people enough encouragement to get involved there, and they'll have a very good bet if they did. Look, I think
Well, there are only two of us who were saying that.
And
I were being absolutely attacked from all quarters.
This is after the race.
After
the fact that they pushed them out to 3-1 for this race, we were saying that it was a bananas reaction, really. But anyway, we're here now. I think he wins. The ground is definitely a slight concern, but only a slight concern. He moves like one that should be fine on it. And I hope he puts on a show, because I do think he is probably, if not the best horse in the world, certainly in the top two. And I'd love to, you know, Ascot, it's about stars, isn't it? We'd love to see a big performance
tomorrow.
Although
we crabbed him at Epsom, he is a star attraction, and he will be a big star on day two. The big betting race is the Royal Hunt Cup. So easy question for you, Chamberlain. Who wins?
I was dreading a Fark running in the Royal Hunt Cup, and it's going to happen. Not a clue is the answer to that question. Find out nearer the day when I ring round all my mates.
Jessica?
Should I show you all my notes on the Royal
Hunt Cup? Detailed notes.
Well, it's slightly lacking at the moment. That's tomorrow evening's project.
You used to be able to rely on your dad in this race.
Well, no, he often had the favourite, didn't he, coming into this race? And that's why it's just been such a nightmare of a race to watch, because you can have the favourite with the best form and everything, and then suddenly you're drawn on the wrong side of the track, or you're not with the pace, or something goes wrong, and it can all go so horribly wrong. And look at the prices of the horses that have won it in the past. 25-1 last year, 10-1 the year before, 20-1 in 2014. So it's I think you might as well just stick a pin in it.
Yeah, okay, my pin is going to go on Flaming Spear, 25s.
Good shout.
I like Flaming Spirit a lot. And he's got a really big race in him. Thank you. I like that Ed Chamberlain endorsement as well. Kevin, there's an Irish horse here. There's two, in fact, that you're very interested in.
This isn't a good race for the Irish. Now, Portage won it for McAlifer 2 years ago, and that was the first time in 50 years that they won the race. But I think they have two really good contenders here. McAlifer, again, Salt on Stall, is drawn in 3. And while, like Jessica, I haven't hammered this race down yet, on first glance, there's a good bit of pace around him. And both himself and David Moran's Settle for Bay, who has previous at the Royal Meeting, won the Wokingham a little while back. Both of those have progressive profiles. They're open to more improvement. I've been especially impressed with Settle for Bay in his recent starts. This has been his target since the winter. David Moran has, you know, set this race aside in February for him. And he's been working very well. And while he's drawn on the complete opposite side, you know, I don't think we can make a bullish shout on the draw until we see some action. So I think if you go with these two, which will be my inclination, you'll have one on either side to hopefully account for every possibility. But I think the two of them have a real big chance. A lot of these are very good horses, but they're ultimately exposed handicappers. And in a handicap, you're not finding out what the best horse is. You're finding out what the best handicapped horse is on the day. And the two of those are very much open to more improvement.
The feature race on day three will be on ITV4 at 4:20. It is the Ascot Gold Cup. Order of St. George really should be going for three in a row here. But he goes for his second win in the race. He'll take on Stradivarius. Vizeribad gets his first chance of the race. And Torcedor comes over for Jessica Harrington, who's been having a fantastic couple of years. Ed, your thoughts on the feature race on Thursday?
Oh, I fancy one on Thursday, but it's not in the Gold Cup. Come to that in a minute. The Gold Cup itself, again, ground dependent. If it's quick, I'd be happily taking on Order of St. George. Vizeribad for France, who've won it 15 times the Gold Cup. A fascinating contender. I love him. He'll come there on the bridle. What will then happen, who knows? But I love Stradivarius. I really do. I think ground, new kid on the block, the improver. I really fancy Stradivarius to win the Gold Cup.
And so do you, Francesca.
I do, actually. Yep, I'm with Ed. I think he was so impressive on his first start this year at York, and he won it in a really good time and just did everything right for a stayer. He settles so well in his races, and then just Frankie just went through the gears. It is his first time at 2.5 miles, so that's the only box that he still has to tick, but I think it's only a matter of time. And yes, you've got Order of St. George, Vizeribad, who you can't argue with what they've achieved. They've been legends of the staying ranks, but I just got that feeling about Stradivarius.
Kevin, are we raising the tricolour here?
No, I'm with Stradivarius as well. I think he's a magic horse. Unlike Francesco, I would have a slight concern about him settling, because he can take a bit of a grip. He's stepping up in trip here. One will imagine they'll go a solid pace for the trip, and I'd imagine Frankie will bury him and really try to get him settled. And if that first half mile goes smoothly for Frankie, I think he'll make a massive bid. He'll absolutely rattle off the ground. He's a real fluid mover. And that's a slight concern for Order of St. George. He handles it, but you can definitely have a debate as to whether he's at his very, very best on it. And the same could be said for Vizeribad.
I've had a trademark change of heart and I've gone for Order of St. George, so we'll have to see.
What? Another change of heart.
I think on soft ground, he'd be a 70.
Yeah, but funnily enough, I think he'll be all right. Give us this horse, though. Give us this key horse for Thursday.
Trained by Richard Hughes in the easiest race of the whole week, the Britannia. this horse is called George of Hearts, for Richard Hughes. Form working out very nice. Came back at Chelmsford and landed a bit of a touch. Was a bit unlucky at Ascot next time. Behind a horse called Society Power, who's gone on to good things since. And is well fancy for the jersey, actually. And this horse, for Richard Hughes, I think is a group horse running in handicap company, which you've got to be in this race. 10-12-1. One of my bets of the week, actually. Anything George else? Of Hearts.
I'm liking this. Anything else for you, Kevin, on Thursday?
The King George of the fifth handicap. I better stick here. Joseph O'Brien has downdraft, and this has very much been the plan for since February. Even though we did have a bit of a wobble this morning, there was a conversation had this morning. Joseph did consider switching him to the Queen's Vase, but ultimately we're going to stick to the handicap route, and just hope he gets a good draw. I think there's more to come from him. He's unexposed over the trip. Well, he's never run over the trip. He stepped up to 10 furlongs last time and produced what I felt was a really impressive performance against a well-handicapped rival in the King. And look, you need a bit of luck in a race like this. It's a bit counterintuitive, but I want to be drawn high here. High numbers on the round track is where I want to be. And I hope he gets a double-figure draw. That would suit me just fine. And with a bit of luck, I'd be hopefully go very well. He's always seemed a middle distance horse, and now is his chance to prove it.
You were quite keen to mention this horse, but just very quickly, is the reason he's going for the handicap and not for the Queen's Vase due to the fact that you think the handicap mark is just too good to pass up, or was the reason that Joseph was thinking about going for the Queen's Vase that it's actually quite a weak enough race?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting debate because it is definitely a weak group two, the Queen's Vase. My inclination, though, you're rated 96. You could run to 105 in the Queen's Vase and still only finish third. If you run to 105 in the King George, you're probably going to win it. And as well as that, the trip would be a slight question mark for me, the Queen's Vase. And that was probably the ultimate consideration that they made the decision. A mile six would just be a question mark. A mile four, I think everyone's happy that he'll get that. But a mile six, stepping up from 10 furlongs, would just be a step into the unknown. So all things considered, it was probably a tight enough call in the end. But
I'm going to take you on.
You're brave.
As Francesca knows, that London Gold Cup, I back everything that comes out of it, apart from the horse that came last when it won the other day. But Communique runs in that, who ran very well in the London Gold Cup, which is a race I follow over cliffs.
Does he have a stone in hand? He might need it.
Remember the
name. I'm setting myself up for a fall here, aren't I?
On Friday. By the way, if that horse ends up getting chinned a neck and it turns out that the Queen's Vase is really weak, Kevin Blake's going to be having a very interesting conversation. Two huge races on ITV on Friday. The entire day is brilliant with the Albany, the King Edward. But the two feature races, the Commonwealth Cup and the Coronation Stakes, are both live on ITV. Let's go for the Commonwealth Cup first of all, because the Banker of the Week runs here, and it is... And Ed's got raised eyebrows to say this. Sioux Nation, banker of the entire week, runs in the Commonwealth Cup.
You've got banker of the whole week in a really tough race. I mean, this is a really good race.
I'm not as sure.
Again,
it's as tough.
Oh, make the case for him, Emmett. I mean, yeah, make the case for him.
Royal Ascot winner last year, already a Group 1 winner as a juvenile.
Yeah, you're right.
Are you all right, Francesca? I don't know why.
Emmett, make the case.
Royal Ascot winner. Royal Ascot winner last year.
Go on, edit that.
He's a scat daddy. He will absolutely love the Good to Firm Ground. He was brilliant here last year, Group 1 winner as well. And the fact that they're sticking to the speedy trips suggests that this is what it's been all about. He will have been trained
for this
as well.
Which gives me a nice chance to plug our feature this week. We've done a few features, haven't we? We've got behind the scenes with Tip to Win at Roger Teals, which would be nice. And Sir Anthony McCoy has gone behind the scenes with Aidan O'Brien. You'll see, I've had a sneak preview of it. You'll see Aidan like you've never seen him before, because McCoy, you can imagine, with his sense of humour, gives him a bit of stick. And they have a right crack, actually. And that day, we will play out what Aidan says about Sioux Nation, which is very interesting indeed. Because you'll like him in the paddock, I think. He's
a bull. He's an absolute
huge
bull.
Thing.
Yeah.
But it's a good race, this. It's a really good race. The Fahy team are mad about Sands of Marley. Which I can see. And the second horse that day, Invincible Army, is good. And I just think when Charlie Hills gets a good one, they tend to be freakish. I mean, look at Muhara, look at Batash. And they talk about this equilateral in those terms. He could be freakishly good. Again, I'm just worried about that stable form. And I just think this is, I don't know what you think, I think this is a really good Commonwealth Cup.
It is. I think those four horses that you've mentioned, it revolves around them. And I was really taken with Sands of Marley and Invincible Army at Haydock, the way they pull clear of the third. They both really knuckled down to battle. Sands of Marley, I was impressed at how much he changed over the winter. I remember back at the end of his two-year-old career, I just thought he looked a bit weak and hadn't really developed. But now as a three-year-old, he's a big, strong boy. And Invincible Army has just got that really strong record. I think he's rarely been out of the first three in every single one of his starts. So I like that form. Sioux Nation, obviously, is the hype horse.
But they do that, don't
and
they?
And Equilateral, who knows? Who knows? Foxtrot Lady by, six lengths? Mm. But for what's Foxtrot Lady done? Exactly. So
Jessica, these scat daddies, though, don't they? I know they're very good at Ascot, but they do like... They need the next scat daddy, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, Caravaggio, in the end, he was the next coming, wasn't he?
Yeah. No, yes, I think it's just because Scat Daddy has some very good horses. I don't think you just, you know, blindly follow the fact that it's a Scat Daddy. And yeah, I don't know. It's a fascinating race. You can look all sorts of different ways. And I'm interested in the jockey booking as well on Equilateral with James McDonald coming in.
Where's he from?
He's from Australia. He is. But he's a very, very talented jockey. I don't know if you've seen him much in action. Yeah. He spent some time over here. But he's like a really cool customer. And since his serving his 18-month suspension, he's come back really hungry and determined to prove himself again. He's also riding Expert Eye in the Jersey Stakes.
Good luck with that project.
Judmont have really supported him. Yeah. Well, actually, so I went to get my papers yesterday morning, and James McDonald was, Harry, my son, was waving a couple of riders. Turns out it was James McDonald. He was riding Expert Eye, so he's obviously got to know him a little bit in Newmarket.
Yeah, and he's going to need to.
He's going to need to. Mm. Yeah, but dropping down in distance is an interesting one, I think.
It's not fair enough. No, he should be in the Commonwealth Cup, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, he's a sprinter. Yeah. Kevin, back me up here on Sioux Nation.
I like Sioux Nation. He's a big bull of a colt. Like, to be fair, things went right for him the last day, but he ultimately won well. He got a lovely toe into the race, lovely split open for him. He went and won well, and he should come forward from that again, because as Ed says, wait till you see him. He's an absolute bull, and physically he should be the type to improve run to run. Equilateral is a horse I absolutely love. I love the way he goes. I love his mechanics. I just worry a little bit, like Without Parole, that this might come a little bit too soon for him. And that's the main concern there. While Sioux Nation would be my selection, I would give a little squeak for Speaking Colours, who finished behind Sioux Nation last time, receiving weight from him. But the race just didn't go to plan for Speaking Colours. And I suspect he'll be able to progress from that. More pace, more cover should all suit him. And I'd expect him to run a career best and hopefully be in the mix.
Speaking of bulls, Churchill's full sister, Clemmy, didn't manage to follow in her brother's footsteps at Royal Ascot last year, but she may very well be able to follow in his footsteps this year and get that Royal Ascot victory. Disappointing in the Irish 1,000 guineas last time out, but she had suffered setbacks. A lot of Aidan's horses couldn't even run on the grass due to the terrible weather in Ireland. There was an awful lot of dirt work they were doing and the sand-based work that they were doing. So how far along do you expect Clemmy to have come, Kevin? And can she turn the tables on Alpha Centauri?
Well, I see Ed's eyes brighten up. I know Ed is
closer. It's coming, and my confidence is seeping away a bit.
Ed's got to be safe to last year. That's human nature. Hold your nerve. It'll be fine. No, I'd expect her to come forward a huge amount. You know, Aidan was very, very open about how much he considered her to be in need of the run prior to the Irish Guineas. And we should see a much better version of her. Last year, she looked the pick of Aidan's two-year-old fillies, I think it's fair to say. And look, she's bred for this mile trip. You know, she was raced exclusively over six last year and did so well. So this should suit her. And I think this will be the day we find out just how good she is.
Francesca?
Why are you looking at me?
I'm waiting for Ed to kind of state the case for Clemmy, because on form, she shouldn't be the price she is, purely on mathematics of form, because she was well beaten by Alpha Centauri, who's also in the race. And you've also got Bilsden Brook and Tepal, so two other guineas winners in there. And Tepal, I was really taken with when she won the French 1,000 guineas, off the back of two novice wins, impressive wins, but she was really stepping up in grade. And she's a nice, big, athletic filly who takes her racing well. She's got really laid-back attitude at home. Her jockey, Olivier Pellier, is sticking with her from France, and she just ticks a lot of boxes for me.
But Ed Chamberlain, the bank managers have already been on to you.
Aidan will be feeling the pressure here, big time.
From you?
The weight of your wallet.
Well, we did a deal. He might not remember, and I wrote about this in the paper the weekend, where he'd replace his top hat, which went up in a fire. And the tailor I use at Oliver Brown had noticed that last year Aidan's hat didn't quite match up with the Coolmore team and their very smart silk hats. And he said, would you offer him a top hat? And I said, okay. So I went over for the Dublin Racing Festival, and the next day I had lunch with Aidan, and I said, listen, I'll sort you out with this guy Christian if you make sure that Clemmy wins a big one during the flat season, thinking 1,000 guineas, and he chuckled, and Aidan's great fun in company like that. And of course I then backed Clemmy and Tiger Roll all winter, backing Clemmy for the guineas, and she didn't make it. That, when Kevin told me, you were the one that broke the news about Clemmy, my heart broke because I love her to bits. And then she obviously was a hurry to get to the 1,000 guineas. But listen, you know, I was asked the other day, has she trained on? We don't know. Galileos generally do, obviously, because she's the best of that lot, I think it's fair to say. Her two-year-old form was outstanding.
Is that Churchill?
Yeah, there's that Stormcat influence in there, which might be a slight concern. But Churchill surely did train on. He just wasn't quite as good as we thought.
As long as she wins on Friday. Yeah. That's all, that's tail off after that.
And he's going to want that silk hat. So
He's got that. He's got the hat. That part of the deal's done. You'll see Aidan looking resplendent this week in a silk topper.
Well, she's a certainty, so she can't get beaten then, basically.
He doesn't normally let you down, does he, Aidan?
Our coverage switches to ITV4 on Saturday, and the two big races to talk about are, first of all, the Diamond Jubilee Stakes 420. Harry Angel, yet to win at Ascot, but is currently favourite for the race. Merchant Navy, the former Australian horse, who is now in the care of Aidan O'Brien, which means he's improved at least 10 pounds, I should imagine, for that.
Those Australians can't train, can they?
And then Red Current Warrior, who beat Merchant Navy in Australia, makes the journey over and has been named by his trainer as the banker of the entire week. And Cheska, you were quite keen on the horse as well.
Absolutely. Did you just name, you named those in price order, didn't you? Harry Angel's favourite, then Merchant Navy, then Red Cut Warrior, which to me is all completely the wrong way around. Harry Angel, we know, is a very, very good horse, but he has that bad record at Ascot. He's vulnerable because of what he does. He just wants to gallop, and he can be a bit keen, which makes him his own worst enemy, especially over a stiff six furlongs here. We've seen what's happened in the past when he's been taken on, and whilst I don't want to take away anything of what he's done, I think he's vulnerable. Merchant Navy is a good horse, and yes, he won the Group 2 in Ireland in good style on his first start for Aidan when supposedly he wasn't fully wound up. And that's a big tick, the fact that we've seen him over here. But when he and Redcoat Warrior last met, it was in a Group 1 handicap, which is sounds a little bit odd to us to have really high-class handicaps. But Redcoat Warrior was giving him £12 that day and still beat him. And it's the second time Redcoat Warrior's won that race, the year before off bottom weight, and then this year off top weight, with the Lightning Stakes in between, which is a 5 furlong Group 1 weight for age. So any which way you look at it, you've got to have Redcoat Warrior on top. Obviously, we haven't seen him over here, but by all reports, he's travelled really well. They're pleased with his progress. And when you watch his racing style, he can win from the front, from the back, from wherever you like. He's super amenable. And he's got that great story behind him. You know, he used to be trained by William Haggis as a young horse, ran a couple of times over a mile two, which is bizarre, considering where he is now, although not bizarre at the time on his pedigree and everything he showed at home. Sold to Hong Kong, ran a couple of times there, but his feet fell apart. They had to retire him as a result, but they thought, let's send him to Australia. David Hayes' farrier thought he could sort the issue out, and he has. And then they were working him as a miler, and they went, God, this horse has got some serious speed. So they've ended up where they are, which is so unusual as a son of Not Now Cato, who isn't really much of a stallion full stop, let alone a stallion of sprinters. So, yeah, I just love the story for every angle.
That's going to be one of the stories of the week too, and you will handle that brilliantly on ITV if he does come in. But of course, Kevin,
he was a nightmare.
But of course, it'd be almost as bad as if DXP had won for you. But Kevin Blake, it will all be about Merchant Navy because he's going to win.
Look, I was super impressed with Merchant Navy, what he did at the Curragh first time back. I didn't give him any great chance on the day. Now, he was so badly treated by the conditions of the race. Aidan had been very public with how much he'd need to run. But he put in a super performance, and I've got loads of respect for him. But am I with Red Kirk Warrior?
Ooh, oh, my goodness.
This is because you're sitting beside Jessica.
I was there. I think the price is very fair. I think his price is very fair. And while...
Ignore him at glaring. Stick with him.
Look, as Cheska says, he beat Merchant Navy, giving him £12 as recently as March. It was a funny race. The field divided. You can't necessarily take it at face value, but he still went and did it. And as Cheska says, look, he's tactically versatile. And I think he'll go pretty close. And he's the right price. And ultimately, that's the main consideration, isn't it?
Feature race on Saturday for you, Ed.
It's like the Ashes, isn't it? This is going to be a nightmare, because I think she's probably right. I'd love Harry Angel, but at Ascot, I'd take him on happily. That little climb in that last half furlong that nearly caught out the big Aussie who came over here. And
Black caviar.
And
that
one.
Bloody
dropped his hands. that last half furlong that nearly cost Black Caviar the race could cost Harry Angel, who will look the winner at some point, I'm sure. But I think I'm going to have to row in with Francesca, and it's just going to be a nightmare. I think I might go home. I might give up before the...
Well, you see, this is emotional hedging. If you have a few quid on this horse, you know, you'll have to put up with Jessica, but you'll have made a few quid as well. So,
that's the answer. So she, to be fair, she makes a very, very compelling case.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm rowing in with you, partner.
I'm still going to go against you, though, and go with Merchant Navy. Because, you know, Aidan O'Brien,
obviously... I'll convince you by Saturday.
we're battering the Aussies.
You're going to look with that project.
Well, we're absolutely battering the Aussies in the one-day cricket, so they can have their moment on Saturday at Ascot.
What's cricket? The big betting race on Saturday is the Wokingham Stakes. So a very simple question for you, Ed Chamberlain. who wins the 30-runner Wokingham?
Richard Fahey. But I'm not sure which one. I know they fancy Growl. And Mr. Lupton, the plan hasn't quite gone as they'd maybe hoped, but I still think he's got a big chance. So Richard Fahey will win.
Hold on.
Has he made Brian in there?
Brian the Snail, has he got in? He might get in.
Yeah, he'll get in.
He might get in. Richard Fahey will definitely win the Wokingham.
Hold on.
You've said Richard Fahey's going to win the Wokingham, Ed. You haven't mentioned the winner.
Originally?
George Bowen. Come on.
Bread pie.
Come on.
Is that why your ears pricked up with Richard Fahey?
And then he names up 17 badly other Richard Fahey.
Badly bred.
Either you are trolling Kevin Blake or he genuinely thought you were about to
go. No, I don't fancy George Bowen one bit. It's an absolute freak show at York.
I'm telling you. Whatever it is, don't ask me to explain it, but the horse is in ripping form at the minute, and he should have won the last day. And stranger things have happened.
Did you hear me at York when he won?
Oh, yeah.
It's a little bit like Coolmore winning. Money going to money again. These poor breeders at home.
Yeah, and I did text Ed afterwards and said, we can swap bank accounts if you want, and I didn't get a reply on that one.
Francesca, for you.
She loves the Wokingham, her favourite race of the week.
Is George Bowen going to be another big winner for Kevin Blake? And his mare is available for breeding.
No, she's not.
When we get to the race, make sure you're watching ITV because I'll be in the paddock and casting my eye over.
That is Francesca sitting on the fence. So there's a horse that has snuck in at the bottom, Blue de Vega. Who I really like.
We saw the Weaver horse.
We saw him on. He's not putting this up, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Just because he's stealing my work. Robert Cowell, sprinting specialist.
This has been the plan. We said it.
Where were we the other day?
Haydock.
Epsom.
When he ran dash at Epsom, he was really unlucky. I think this has been the plan for quite some time. I like him and Gilgamesh, who goes for this instead of the Hunt Cup. Both of those would be very, very interesting for me. Kevin, are you still sticking with George Bowen? Seriously?
I haven't hammered this down yet, but we need to wait and see the draw and everything. But
oh, for goodness sakes.
My heart will be with Georgie.
All right. Brilliant. That'd be great.
Anything else that you want to highlight from Royal Ascot 2018, Francesca?
Let me have a quick think. You guys go first.
That's a no. Kevin?
From a punting perspective, you know me and punting. It's not
mad punter.
Not my strong point. So
mad punter.
Be watching.
Any two-year-olds that interest you, Kevin? The Coventry's going to be a fascinating race with Sergei Prokofiev.
It will. No, I'll give a quick mention to the Chesham because I think we probably have a good Chesham this year and it can be a so-so type of race. Mm-hmm. And there's just a few in there that are potentially very nice horses and Beyond Reason, Australia's first winner in this neck of the woods. And we'll have plenty of supporters. Natalie's Joy was very impressive for Mark Johnson, first time out. But I would give a little mention, and it's a small bit under the radar, even though I suspect Ryan will ride him. Cardini of Aidan O'Brien's, he's been disappointing, I suppose, in his first two starts. But there's a bit of a story here, because there's been big, big chat about this horse for a long time, to the extent that Coolmore brought his sire, Magician, back from America to stand in Castle Hyde on the strength of this horse. Oh. He was working so well. He was being talked of as a Royal Ascot horse back in March, and they brought the sire back because he wasn't all that commercially going all that well in America, so they took him back. And he's covered a heap of mares on the strength of this fella. And while his first two starts have been a bit disappointing, talking to Aidan about him, he seems very forgiving about his two runs, and he's going to be here. I suspect Ryan will ride him, and I would expect a pretty substantial step up in form from him over the longer trip.
Okay, and it's a race they've won before. Ed, anything else for you?
Right, are you ready for your life-changing Yankee?
Here we go.
This is what we love. I was actually tempted to put Idaho in this, but I hope Crystal Ocean wins the Hardwick.
I actually quite like Idaho.
He'll run a big race, I think, put a line through Epsom. Right, here's the life-changing Yankee. Have you got your pen, Francesca?
No, I don't have a pen.
Calix will win the Coventry.
I think you're all right.
Calix will win the Coventry when John Gosden decides to run one quick. It's a massive sign.
That's a good point.
No one tells John what to do. He's very much his own boss. And our dad came and won 6 days later. I can't remember. He's done it before.
Is it 3 from 4?
Something like
that. The horse is backing up at Royal Ascot.
After the fact that Calix is running. Yeah. People will crab his head carriage and he's green and all that kind of stuff. But I think he could be super talented. Stream of Stars will win for Bin John Gosden in the Queen's Vase. Smacks of Stradivarius, that whole Stream of Stars. George of Hearts is my nap of the week in the Britannia.
Wrong George.
And I like Count Calabash, who was so impressive here when Francesca had another day off one day.
Oh,
and I was blown away by Count Calabash, who I said to, there were two horses that day that pulled hard. Your dad's God-given, do you remember? She pulled really hard that day. And this horse, Aviv Johnson Horton, pulled like a train and still ran out. A brilliant winner that day. I think it's got a ton in hand still. And that's in the Duke of Edinburgh on Friday. So I'm going Calix, Stream of Stars, George of Hearts, Count Calabash, for my retirement fund.
If you do a lucky 15 on that, you could be in clover, thanks to Ed. Francesca?
No, just one of note, in the Albany on Friday is a filly called Chicas Amigas, who goes for Jessie Harrington. So we'll get a bit of a clue about her form on Wednesday when Servalan runs in the Queen Mary, because she beat Chicas Amigas last time over 6 furlongs. So Servalan dropping down in trip and Chicas Amigas staying at the 6. And it's a good story again because she's owned by a syndicate called It's All About the Girls, who are obviously all female owners. They've had horses and training in other parts of the world, including Australia.
Oh, here we go. There it is.
Where there's a
very good, going to be an absolute bonanza this week.
They've got a really good filly called Global Glamour. And so this is a similar kind of arrangement of women. And so they'll A, be very excitable in the paddock before the race, and B, go nuts if the filly does win. And supposedly she's got a similar kind of profile to Alpha Centauri, who came into Ascot last year with a really... really big hype around her, and she's a big strong girl, kind of laid back type, so I think they're quietly confident.
Ed Chamberlain, your banker of Royal Ascot 2018.
I love stories like that. That'd be great. Good interview, that one. Legs, is she called, who
fronts it up? Legs Lawler.
Amber Byrne, who I know very well as part of that, which would be great. There's so many good stories this week. I'd hope some of those smaller teams and syndicates have winners. My banker of the entire week is George of Hearts in the Britannia each way.
Sioux Nation for me. Francesca?
Red Cat Warrior, obviously.
Kevin?
I'd probably go Lady Aurelia.
Oh, there's a lucky 15. Yeah. There's another lucky 15 for you. Not quite a retirement one. Ed's got that sorted for you, but we've got a decent lucky 15 for you here as well. Fantastic coverage.
To be honest with you, as long as I can get through the royal procession each day, I don't really care what happens after that.
Fantastic coverage for you all week. It'll begin with the opening show from 9:30. The main coverage from 1:30, spread across ITV and ITV4. It is Royal Ascot 2018. Hopefully, we've unearthed some winners for you. From Francesca, Kevin, Ed, and myself, we'll chat to you throughout the week on ITV. Thanks for listening. God bless.